great entertainer says what we're all feeling. And since it's been a hell of a year, Lil Nas X hung up his adorable pink cowboy hat and traded in for a skin-tight bondage getup to ride a stripper pole to hell. Lil Nas X's new music video, Montero, has everything. He plays all the characters in a magical biblical world, Adam in the Garden of Eden, the seductive serpent, his own judge and Judy condemning him to hell, where he booty bounces for the devil, also played by himself, where, spoiler alert, he snaps old Lucifer's neck, steals his horns, and becomes the new queen of the underworld.
With a little nasty help from right-wing outrage, the single is shot to number one on the charts, and his collaboration with the fashion line Mischief to sell satanic sneakers embedded with a single drop of human blood has raked in $666,000 and opened up a trademark infringement lawsuit from Nike. Now Lil Nas X is wrestling with a real devil, corporate lawyers.
Today, we're cutting loose like Lil Nas X did with the devil and looking at all the wild stuff rolling around regarding his new controversial video Montero and all those wickedly evil shoes.
Plus, was Robert Mapplethorpe as cranky in real life as he is in the film Mapplethorpe?
The Jewish legacy of Peeps.
Kate Winslet feels bad for all the actors trapped in the closet.
And the scandalous tea on Tina Turner that didn't make it onto our Tina Turner podcast. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
So Fausto, what did you do over Easter weekend?
You know, it's kind of weird. I went out on Friday and came back on Monday.
Oh, really?
Just like Jesus.
Wow, I got nailed on Friday is how the joke is supposed to
be. Oh, you got nailed on Friday?
You got nailed on Friday, and I didn't come out until Sunday.
You didn't come till Sunday. I was busy looking for eggs.
Ooh, in my pants.
Babs, where's the egg man? Why is the egg man here? Said Jesus.
Actually, it was a pretty mild weekend for us here at Feast of Fun. We did have a little Easter celebration. We cooked a little lamb.
It was marvelous.
Well, we had a little leg of a lamb.
It was good, honey. I put a little bit. The secret, it was the sauce. It was raspberry and this special flavoring. What do you do?
I just took a little raspberry jam. Yeah. I add a little, what is it? Nor flavoring. Like it's kind of like their
browning sauce.
And then I added some actual like browning sauce because I made some Jamaican stuff. So I had that around and a little bit of vinegar because you want a little acid. You wanted some umami and you wanted that sweetness for all the dipping of the lamb.
Just like this podcast, sweet, salty, and spicy. But the sauce you made, a browning sauce, because people are listening to that. They're like, what is browning sauce?
So browning sauce, they use a lot in Jamaican food for a lot of their pastries. So they make a dark cake or a black cake. Mm-hmm. And then at Easter, they make something called Easter bun. And I ran into it at a store nearby that sold like Jamaican Easter bun. So I bought it and it tasted good. But I'm like, man, I bet if this stuff was really fresh, it would be really good. So I got the recipe. Yeah. And the thing that kind of held me back is that you want to make this browning sauce for it, right? Which is you basically burn brown sugar and then you add water to it. And there's a bunch of videos online on how to do it, mostly by Jamaican women. And there's one woman, like, they put the fear of God in you. They're just like,
why are you so worried about it?
Well, because you're burning sugar and sugar is super, super hot when it's on, you know.
It'll fuck you up.
And like the one woman was like, you don't want children around you. If you can do this outside, because it's going to smoke everything up.
It smelled really bad.
One woman made it into a tin can that she's like, I make it in this can and then I throw the can out. And so I'm just like, well, I don't want to ruin a pot, but I never fear. I didn't ruin any pots. It did get smoky, but I aired the house out. But you know, the browning, it makes this caramel, right? And I'm sure that this is probably what they used to make Coca-Cola as dark as
totally. It is, yeah. It's basically brown sugar.
Yeah. So
caramelized sugar to the point that it's right on the precipice of burning.
Yes. And even like in Vietnamese food, they use a lot of stuff where they use a regular sugar and they burn that too. And so that's that caramel flavor, gives you that umami that you want. And so that goes into this wonderful Jamaican Easter bun. It's so delicious.
And we also mixed it with raspberry jam or jelly.
and a little bit of vinegar and some spices to make a sauce for the lamb. It was delightful.
It was absolutely delightful.
And it was very good because it was very biblical, because you have the body of Christ, which is the lamb, and you have the blood, which is represented by the jam. I never realized how delicious Easter is.
Well, you know that when you see, because, you know, Jesus is often compared to like the shepherd, the good shepherd, yes. Right? And so when you look at, they have like the images of like shepherds, you sometimes see the lamb over their shoulders, right? And people are like, oh, isn't it nice he's carrying that lamb? It's very sweet. What people don't know about that is that the shepherd, sometimes if they have a lamb, is they'll break the leg of the lamb so the lamb can't walk on its own. And so then it bonds with the herder, with the shepherd. And then, so it'll always kind of stick nearby him.
So that's a really fitting metaphor for Christianity.
You know, without a doubt.
And we'll get to that in a minute. I mean, you know, little Nas X, he's basically, you know, crowdfunding his video and his work by harvesting the homophobia, transphobia, the racism of modern Christianity into $1 million money-making machine. Genius. Mm. Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of like the opposite of Joel Osteen, right?
Whereas, you mean like, those right-wing preachers that are on television?
Yeah, that make tons and tons of money from it. But, you know, we've all grown up with that kind of religious discrimination, so it's fun to see it turn it on its head. Like, you look at our good friend Joshua Grinnell, who does, like, Peaches Christ. I mean, she's been doing Peaches Christ since the 90s or 80s. How old is she? Yeah. She's really old, right?
She's ancient.
No, she's actually...
read about her in history books.
But it's that same kind of thing. You take this thing that's tormented you, and you flip that shit around.
So I don't know why Peaches doesn't call herself Heckalina then. So Little Nas X, he's making big bucks. Mm-hmm. We're going to basically bring down the receipts here.
How much money is he making?
He's making at least probably, you know, he's got a lot of people on his bankroll because he's a successful artist. And when you're black in America, you have to feed the whole family. There was an interview with Mr. T's daughter, actually, on one podcast a while back. It really impressed upon me that Mr. T was very salty about his career because he basically like, and you heard this about the Michael Jackson family as well. Mm-hmm. When you hit it big and you have an extended family, you got to take care of everybody.
Everybody's on the payroll.
So, yeah, you know, yeah. I'm guessing Lil Nas this month probably brought in $4 million for all this. Which is not a lot of money because he's got bills to pay, honey.
Well, and when you look at a lot of sports players who have their own restaurants and stuff like that, a lot of those things that they do, those side hustles like that, is to get the family members a job so that they're working.
So some of you guys are listening to the show and you're like, who's this little nasty ex? ¿Qué es eso? Yo no sé. ¿Qué? Explícame. So he's a viral sensation from TikTok, where he remixed Billy Ray Cyrus's Old Town Road song into a rap, and it just became really catchy. And so everybody's like, I'm going to go right down to the Old Town Road.
And so everybody kind of just did their own TikTok video because that's the culture of TikTok. If something people are appealed to something on TikTok, everybody else imitates it. So you have all these dance crazes. You have people lip syncing to the same kinds of things over and over and over again.
Yeah, I don't, you know, and part of me is like, I opened up TikTok and I was like, this is really hard to understand.
Well, you know, I have like two friends.
I can use any app, but TikTok, I look at it and I'm just like, what monster designed this thing?
I have two friends, Saul and Michael, and they always send me TikToks. TikTok, to every day I get a new TikTok. And so I'll hit that one and maybe I'll let the next couple ones play. And then, you know, our old friend Rob Anderson has got a great TikTok out there and we'll get to later. And so they just, I get hooked on it for a while, but it just, I feel like it just happens so fast most of the time. And sometimes you just sit through stuff that's just garbage. Like, I really want to find like a curated TikTok.
Look how stupid my family members are. I'm gonna pour a bucket of water in their head. Why did you do that? I didn't do it. Blah, blah, blah. You know, and you're like 3 seconds lost of your life.
I know, and
you'll never get that back.
And so, you know, and so these kind of new platforms, you always find whenever you get these new social media platforms, they always, you know, there's a handful of people that really make it big. And then everybody else is just, you know, churning away at the gristmill and, you know, they're not really seeing as many rewards as some of the other people are, but they need like these success stories, you know. TikTok, owned by the Chinese, of course, is going to buoy up somebody like Lil Nas X. So everybody else is like, well, if he could do it, I can do it. Now, granted, he's talented and he's cute as heck and, you know, kudos for him for making it.
People say that we've been buoyed by the corporate machine. Where's my check?
Where's my check?
Where's my $666,000 for selling satanic shoes, damn it? Girl, I'm getting a lot more blood. I'm putting sweat and tears.
I could get other bodily
fluids, and I got nothing. But, you know, it is really interesting. People are asking, who's Montero? You know, it's like, well, that's Lil Nas X's birth name.
Isn't that a cute little name, Montero?
So it reminds me,
isn't there like a Jeep or something like that?
Yeah,
it's a Canyonero from the Canyonero. Simpsons.
But he wrote this beautiful letter to himself, and I want to read it to you guys because it actually is very touching. And this is a very deep thinker, is somebody with a lot of heart and soul who's making music, who's openly gay, and he's challenging the system and deserves your full attention. Even if it's not music you might enjoy listening to, this is a person worth paying attention to. And he wrote, "Dear 14-year-old Montero, I wrote a song with our name in it. It's about a guy I met last summer. I know we promised to never come out publicly. I know we promised to never be that type of gay person. Oh, crrr. But I know I promise to die with that secret. This will open doors for many other queer people to simply exist. You see, this is very scary for me. People will be angry. They will say I'm pushing an agenda. But the truth is, I am. The agenda to make people stay the fuck out of other people's lives and stop dictating who they should be. Sending you love from the future. Lil Nas X."
Aww.
Qué bonito.
And all those 16-year-old kids out there reading, they're like, yeah.
Fuck the system. Fuck Chick-fil-A. I don't understand, like, why people eat Chick-fil-A. I mean,
there's people like, I just can't resist it. It's so delicious. I'm just like, I'm sorry, but Popeyes is a hell of a lot better.
My fried chicken is better, okay? We can make that sandwich at home 10 times better than anything Chick-fil-A can.
Well, you know, it's fast food and people, I think they grow up on it or something. And, you know, part of it probably is self-loathing. Every little bite of it, they're probably just like, I hate myself. I hate myself. I hate myself. I'm going to eat this chicken.
I hope you choke on that chicken sandwich. So in the video, it is a CGI masterpiece where Lil Nas plays all the characters, which is very cheap to cast.
Well, it's nice work if you can get it, right?
Right. It's like, I'm going to make a film starring me, everybody in the whole wide world, but especially me.
It's me.
And he's in the Garden of Earthly Delights, where he's seduced by himself, also as a snake.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, of course, traded in his adorable cowboy outfit for a skin-tight bondage outfit.
Mm.
And I'm like, who's the eviline there? Is it Lil Nas with his sexy self, or is it the snake?
Mm.
But eventually they come together and all hell breaks loose, where he's basically goes on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Because there's a lot of like crazy wigs.
Lots of wigs.
And you know, it's nice when you do these CGI things, when you do like a Lil Nas X in a blue wig, it's just as easy to make one of them as it is to make 10 of them. So then he becomes his own Judge, Judy, and Executioner.
Yeah.
And sentences him to hell.
Via stripper pole. My favorite way to travel.
Well, you know, if you have a long distance to go, you might as well just slide, right?
That's right, baby. And he slid down that pole.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that it had Chris Rock making a cameo in the first video for Old Town Road, because his bit claim to fame was, you failed as a father if you can't keep your daughter off the pole. Remember that?
I totally forgot about that.
So I was like, oh, a little true. I love Chris Rock, you know. Mm-hmm. And so
you had one job. Keep her off the pole.
Keep her off the pole. So, you know, Lil Nas X's father must be going, oh, where did I go wrong? So, but, you know, then he saw how much money he brought in from those shoes. $666,000. Ad revenue from the music video. Easily $2 million.
You think? Just from being on YouTube?
Just YouTube, baby. Because it's the hot, it's the number one single right now. Mm-hmm. So every advertiser is competing for those views.
Everybody wants those Satan dollars, those Satan stickers.
Delicious Satan
devil dollars.
The devil.
Beelzebub, what's baubles? What's a good word that begins with a B? So the anyway, B. So then he ends up on Satan's lap and he gives Satan a lap dance and he booty bounces, booty pops all up in Satan's face and distracts him enough to... remove his horn weaves, and now he's the queen of hell.
So, in because you know about this all Jesus biblical shit. If Satan dies, what happens? Because you in Supernatural, Satan gets killed, right? In the TV series.
Well,
what happens to the world when the head of the underworld dies?
Well, the so
is it basically like that movie where murder
so
is legal?
Hell is complicated, right? So hell kind of comes from this Jewish concept, and it was called, I think it was called Sheol, and they briefly touch on it, and it's part of like the culture, but it's not really, they don't go into too deep, at least like in the Old Testament. And it was kind of like an underworld. It was kind of like a ghostly world. There wasn't necessarily that you were tortured there or anything like that, but it was just kind of like you existed, and your existence really wasn't much. It was like a half existence or something like that. And then when the New Testament came out, they had more ideas about what hell was, and with, you know, with Lucifer, and he was, you know, became king of hell, and then it became like, you know, you'd go down there and you'd be tortured, that kind of stuff. But then if you weren't too bad, then maybe you would just go to purgatory. So that's kind of like light hell, and eventually you could get out to heaven if people prayed for you enough. Or if you bought like a special indulgence, that kind of thing. I don't. So it's kind of complicated. I don't know if you can kill Satan because it's Satan is a representative of evil. And will
on
ever,
Supernatural, they did.
Well, they put him in a cage.
Well, there, and bad things started happening, right? Because when you trap, it was like when no, death gets killed, then no one dies. So, right? When evil gets killed, then evil loses its meaning.
So when the angel Lucifer was trapped in his cage, there was. In hell, they got somebody else. They had the king of hell. So they had somebody else kind of like take over running hell.
And you thought Veggie Tales was complicated. So Little Nas X responded to all the anti-right wing outrage saying, "I hope you stay mad and feel the same anger you teach us to have towards ourselves. Mm-hmm. I spent my entire teenage years hating myself because of the shit y'all preached would happen to me because I was gay. So I hope you are mad, stay mad, feel the same anger you teach us to have towards ourselves."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what most people are doing. They're coming to the defense. Oh, so you're telling people that it is of the devil if you're gay and God hates them. Like, why wouldn't they make a video like this?
I'm surprised it didn't happen anytime sooner. Oh, wait a minute. Ozzy Osbourne's like, "Hey, remember me?" I mean, the 80s, you know, basically devil every worship, white guy with long hair was into Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And America was like, boys will be boys.
Well, I think, you know, Satanism really got popular in the 50s and 60s with LaVey, right? Was that his name?
Simon LaVey. Simon LaVey.
And so, you know, all these celebrities were kind of interested in it because the idea of Satanism and that stuff isn't so much devil worship or hell, but it's accepting humanity for what it is and your desire, right?
Well, I've always felt that Satanists are also just a different flavor of Christianity. Mm. And, you know, when you reject the tenets of Christianity, you're still part of that dysfunctional system. So even if you call yourself a Satanist, you're really tacitly a Christian as well.
Well, and also, too, is like when you call things like, you know, satanic or if you say like there's a devil kind of thing. In many ways, you're kind of, in a sense, hiding certain things, right? And what we've discovered is, remember the satanic panic from the 80s when people were, you know, having these recovered memories of being in cults, supposedly, with Satanism. Or there's this one case that was very much celebrated of this, daycare center. And it was alleged that the people involved in were running, like, this kind of, like, devil worship kind of thing and involving the children in it. And what they've discovered, and, like, what this is, like, discovering, like, 10, 20 years later, is that this why so much of this was fueled and why this became so caught up in the American zeitgeist, because it was a big discussion around giving women maternity leave in childcare here in the United States. And so they use this. They honestly, like, this is how evil and how devil like some of these conservatives are. They use this as a means to take away from that. Like, you don't want somebody taking care of your children. You don't want the government involved in this, because then all of a sudden your kid's going to become a devil worshiper.
I think this is the first time on Easter in recent memory that everybody's talking about the merits or the tenets of Christianity and Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, did Jesus Christ even ever exist in the first place?
Well, he may have, but you know,
we don't know.
Interesting enough, though, that like now, you know, since this has come out, the news is out that at least more than half of Americans don't go to church anymore.
Don't affiliate with any organized religion. They're like Walter Mercado. Yeah. They believe in Buddhism, Christianity, reincarnation, Egyptology, UFOs, and whatever Whole Foods has on sale this week.
But they're not going to the traditional churches.
Yeah.
You know? Which is, you know, but you compare it to like a country like Norway, where I think it's like 3% of the population goes to the church on a regular basis.
Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. Damn.
But you know what? They have universal health care. They have a college education. They have maternity leave. They have a lot of social benefits for people because, you know, they practice rather than preach.
So, you know, the more intellectual and it's not saying much, but, you know, Coco Peru and Peaches Christ, the drag queens who really like to think and have a very strong intellect. They're speaking in favor of Lil Nas X and the video and, you know, mm-hmm. what those issues are coming up with as people who have experienced the homophobia of their Christian families mm-hmm. and churches.
Yes.
You know, that's something that I really didn't experience growing up in a very bizarre family in Puerto Rico. My grandfather named all his children after celestial objects. Mm. And my parents turned to Christianity only as a way to navigate their divorce. And my sister and I thought it was a lark. And we were like, we wanted to get baptized and serve as acolytes so we could get free wine. And that was the truth of it all. And
losers.
You know, what, we were losers? Why?
I want to go through all this to just get wine. Why wouldn't you just go into your parents' liquor cabinet and drink all
my
the liquor
My parents didn't
you
have a liquor cabinet.
Losers.
Well, and so for you, did you experience homophobia at the hands of your church?
Absolutely, without a doubt. Yeah. Yeah, I was raised Catholic, so it was kind of, you know, the thing about it, though, too, is like there was the homophobia around there, but there was also, you know, I went to all-boys prep school, and there was predator priests there. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it was like you knew that they were predators. And it was accepted. It was common. It was known that they were out to have sex with boys, but there was really like you felt powerless against it. There was nothing you could really do. And so when people talk about, you know, especially when women talk about this idea of rape culture, that we live in this culture that, you know, you can be sexually violated at any minute. A lot of guys kind of like poo-poo or like whatever. It's like, I know that that exists because we lived through that. You know, I lived through that. I knew that there was this idea that, like, if this priest wanted to have his way with me, he could have his way with me, and there's nothing I could do about it.
And that's why gay men or LGBTQ people are targeted by a lot of these conservative organizations, because yeah. we're the ones first to spot out yes. their harmful behavior.
Yes, without a doubt.
Because we see it, because we've experienced yes. it.
And that's part of the reason yeah. why you see somebody, you know, like... you know, even like Matt Gaetz, who's on the news right now, who's, yeah. you know, because he's allegedly paying for sex, which is fine, you know, if that's what the people are into. But he's also, you know, being predatory again with young women who yeah. are underage. You know, he's 40 years old and he's allegedly having sex with a 17-year-old girl. And so, you know, and bringing her across state lines and paying for hotels and that kind of right. stuff, you know, right. and that's to me that's clearly taking advantage of somebody that they shouldn't be taking advantage of. And so, you know, that part of the reason why they do that is because they want to point fingers at somebody else so that you don't see what they're up to.
Yeah, that. You know, it very much reminds me of the Wizard of Oz. You know, it's like, don't look behind the curtain.
Without a doubt.
Now, with Lil Nas's shoes, he partnered with a fashion house called Mischief.
Mm-hmm.
And so with all the vowels dropped yeah. out, and decided to sell 1,000 pairs of of remade Nike shoes for $666. Mm-hmm. So they brought in a net worth of $666,000, right?
Yeah.
Mathematics, honey.
And they had one left over they were going to give away on April Fool's Day, but they didn't actually end up giving it away, I think, because Nike said, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. We need that shoe. We're going to sue your asses off. And we want that $666,000. Thank you.
So Nike wasn't involved. They're Nike shoes, right? But they were bought and then repurposed, right?
And so anybody can do that.
Yeah. And it's called upcycling, right? Yeah. And so, you know, they're just like, you're doing something with our brand that we don't like. So they felt like they needed to step in. But, you know, the Christians were all ready to boycott Nike over it.
Hmm.
Cum se, cum sa. Cancel culture.
As the Satanists once said on Bewitched, cum se, cum sa. I'll take it or leave it.
Cum si,
cum sa. Cum si, cum sa. You know, rock and roll is dangerous. It's wild. That's what we learned about with Tina Turner. God, we did this show about Tina Turner, and it's this year our most popular episode has doubled the downloads of all our other podcasts.
Oh, really?
With Tina Turner. And then the phone starts ringing, and everyone's like, I got my Tina Turner story. I got this. Do you guys know that Tina Turner did that? And we're like, holy shit, we have another show to do.
Wow.
So we're going
to. A lot of it's like alleged. It's and all. Rumors. Lesbian rumors.
Lesbian rumors. As Oprah likes to say about herself. Lesbian rumors. So, you know, rock and roll is dangerous. It's wild. It's great to see queer people front and center, queer people of color.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon Osbourne grew up to be these racist right-wing jerks, you know.
Ozzy, too?
Well, he's too high to be like, what, where, who, you know.
Well, can you explain to the audience why Lady Bunny doesn't like it?
I can't. People, the question of my life. What is Lady Bunny? Why is Lady Bunny? What is a Lady Bunny?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have answers for that.
Well,
but,
you know, yeah.
But she fears, and some people fear that retribution is coming to LGBT youth or people who are at the hands or at the mercy of these conservative families. And I'm like, they're so already being tormented. Yeah, they're already being targeted. So I don't know how things can get worse for the, unfortunately for people who are in those circumstances, but they also don't like the song too.
Yeah. Well, what's reminiscent of me too is like, you know, this song's okay. It's all right. It's not something I'm going to listen to on repeat, but you know, it reminds me in some ways, it has some of the controversy that Madonna's Like a Prayer had, but Madonna's Like a Prayer controversy lasted years.
It cost her a Pepsi Cola contract.
It cost her like I'm sure a lot of money, but also a lot of notoriety. But people like followed that because it was ongoing. Different countries were banning her. The Pope was coming out against her. People were like in Canada were telling you can't perform that. I think she was arrested in Canada.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? And so it's like Madonna paved a way for that kind of like. Was sacrilegious music.
Sacrilegious marketing.
Yeah, sacrilegious marketing. And, she was already a name, but like this kind of like catapulted her even further.
And meanwhile, Pope Francis issued a statement, said, these mischief shoes are so comfortable and you only need one drop of blood.
Are you kidding? He wears Prada shoes. The Pope's shoes are made by Prada.
Girl.
Well, not all of his
shoes. Take it easy.
Not all of his shoes, but you know, his official ones are. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I'm like really enjoying where this whole controversy is going. Why was there so much misinformation about the shoes, whether they were legit or not?
Well, the right wing media made it seem as though Nike had made these shoes because they did have, you know.
That's where it was. Yeah. Okay.
And so they were trying to make it seem like they were the ones behind it. But they're like, no, I'm sorry. We just do child slave labor. We're not into satanic worship.
We only drink the blood of children, not virgins. Well, as if they is the same thing, so what? You know. Now, here's our new fashion line of Nike custom made shoes. One now with 98% less pain and suffering.
Aw.
Now, the 98% has pain and suffering, just a 0.2 reduction of that. Wow, that's great. I'm so glad somebody's getting rich during this pandemic. And who the hell has $1,000 to spend on satanic shoes?
You know, people getting that stymie money. They're just like, girl, well, if I get these, it's $1,000 and I have $400 left over. And, you know, maybe they're going to be a collector's item in 20 years. They'll be worth, you know, $1,100.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was going to get you one for your birthday, which is coming up. Did you?
Just give me the grand. The $666.
Venmo will be nicely. Thank you.
Yes. American Express will do nicely. Thank you. Let me loosen up.
What do you want for your birthday?
I want peace and love and health for everybody. And they're like, okay, what can we realistically get you for your birthday? Mm-hmm. I'm really happy right now because I'm working with a physical therapist to address my chronic knee and lower back problems. And shout out to Jessica, honey, at the Physera app, people. She is hooking me up and having me do like all this therapeutic exercises. And
it's, are you feeling better?
I'm feeling a lot better, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, because it's like when things are out of whack in your body, it's like it dominates everything, you know? I mean, you know, like, God, so many famous lesbian comedians have had lower back problems on Star Trek, you know?
What?
Like, Tig Notaro on Star Trek.
Well, she also had cancer.
Yeah, well, that's not on part of the canon.
Oh.
On Star Trek, she just has back pain.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's back pain. It's cancer.
Well, I had cancer on my shoulder, and that got cut off, so knock on wood, not coming back. But
so they re-released the director's cut of the film Mapplethorpe that came out a couple years ago. I saw it with my good friend Michael. And
it has nothing to do with maple syrup.
No, nothing, but there's a lot of sticky, sweet stuff in it, for sure. You know, it's the story of Robert Mapplethorpe. He arrives, like, in Manhattan. He meets up with Patti Smith. They become lovers, move in together. His art starts to take off. He discovers he's really a gay man, or maybe he identifies as bisexual. I'm not sure. She leaves, goes off to be a rocker. He rises to the art world fame. He causes a lot of controversy for his super explicit photos of, you know, especially queer sexuality. And then, unfortunately, he gets AIDS and dies.
And I love any kind of artist biopic, which basically the narrative is sleep your way to the top.
Well, you know, Sam Wagstaff was a powerhouse art collector. He was wealthy and was at the top of the art scene in New York. And he and Robert Mapplethorpe met in 1971, and he took an interest in Patty. They don't really show this in the movie so much, but he took an interest in Patty Smith's career and in Robert Mapplethorpe's career, and even gave him a studio for him to work in, and really promoted his work because he was very, very much into it. You know, I guess previously to this, he was probably like more closeted. And so for him, it was a way to be like, hey, this is out here, because Robert Mapplethorpe also brought him into that world, you know, the demi world that they would say of the sex clubs. And, you know, could you imagine the sex in New York City in the 70s and early 80s?
Tina Turner can. We'll get to that later.
You know, with the for people that saw the first the movie when it came out, the new edition has scenes depicting Mapplethorpe's childhood love for a photographer, which wasn't in the original one. And then his relationship with his father is explored more thoroughly, and his relationship to like Catholicism and its iconography is more explored. So I was watching because it'd been a while, and I'm like, what is the difference? And so I had to do a little bit reading up on it. But what I think was interesting about it too is that one of the people who's a producer for it was Faith from the TV show Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Now, Fausto's not a Buffy fan, but a lot of people out there, Eliza Dushku, I guess she had been involved in the project, you know, since like 2010 or 2012 or something like that, and, you know, had read the script and had was like, I want to help produce this, and eventually did help produce it.
Well, and Robert Mapplethorpe artistically is kind of the next generation of Andy Warhol artists who saw, you know, photography is not just a mechanical process, but a art form in of itself.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like now we think of we have no question right now of photography being art. But back when he started, people were just kind of like, well, is it art?
Is the realm of photographers, technicians, or journalists. It was not seen as something that was in the art, meaning
fine.
yeah, something that was being made by the hands of an artist, or conceived of in the mind of an artist and manifested into reality, it is something that is like a toaster or a car. Mm-hmm. And so our Andy Warhol and, you know, certainly Marcel Duchamp and many other pioneering artists said, you know, cars, toasters can be art. Anything can be art if you just change the way you look at it. And so found objects can also be art. Photography can be art. Ideas can be art. And really, you know, change the world and how we think about creativity and how we think about each other by embracing these burgeoning, these developing forms, right? And so, you know, for Robert Mapplethorpe, he's somebody, we always think about those, you know, sexy naked men and their penises and all that stuff. But just like Andy Warhol, he took a ton of photos of very, very famous people, including Andy Warhol himself.
Mm-hmm. And there's a picture that they use in Mapplethorpe itself, and it's of Roy Cohn, you know,
who's
the evil Roy Cohn. The
Trump's mentor.
Trump's mentor.
Yeah.
You know, not protagonist, he's the evil guy in Angels in America.
He's a central character.
A central character in Angels in America. He's dying of AIDS. He helped with the Rosenberg trial, basically put them to death. And you just see this photo of Roy Cohn. It almost looks like he is like a statue, like a Roman statue bust, but also just like the evil that kind of like emanates from
him. He's like a Craig Montgomery Burns in The Simpsons, you know?
Absolutely. Because, you know, he was a closeted gay man who didn't really think of himself as gay, but had all the gay sex he wanted to have and just was just like, again, he was just a real jerk. Now, Matt Smith, who would you know is the doctor from Doctor Who, he plays Mapplethorpe in this. And I guess he lost a bunch of weight to get into the role. He only had like a month between shoots and he had just gained weight, so he lost all this weight like in a month because they filmed all the scenes where he was sick and dying first.
Oh damn.
Because they wanted him to be skinny at the beginning, you know, they filmed that because he was skinny, right? And then he could like, okay, we filmed these, you can start eating again.
Damn.
But you know, he's thin throughout the whole thing, but he's super skinny at the end. But they only filmed it in like 19 days, so it's amazing what you can do in 19 days.
And here I am trying to shake this COVID weight off, and it's like Matt Smith does. God, what kind some of deal people, with the devil is he doing?
Some people, they just have that metabolism. They have that will. They can do it. He probably wasn't that heavy to begin with, you know?
Come on, Whitney. Hit the pipe. I don't know. They say that all those drugs don't make you lose weight. They just make you eat faster. That's what Bianca Del Rio said.
That's
an old joke.
From the 80s.
But it's certainly true, you know?
Yeah, I've known many a cocaine addict that's
just like nice and full.
But, you know, it's like, you know, mixed cocaine with being overweight. It's a great way to get a heart attack.
Amen. So stay away. And cocaine these days is like, it's one part, you know, gasoline, one part baby powder, concrete, meth.
Talc, yeah,
baby aspirin, all kinds of messed up
shit.
Yeah.
Unless you can get a really pure stuff, you know, which is hard to get these days. But, you know, in the 80s and the 70s,
Whole Foods was around,
they had a lot of it.
That's how Whole Foods got their start. But so, you know, so today it's like, and we could do a whole podcast about this. It's like how the drugs today aren't what people used to take, how they became famous.
Oh yeah, it's all changed. I actually have a document started for
every
that.
Single drug on the market from Adderall to what is it, Zyrtec, every single thing that people take is not what they used to take. So it is like they're just slapping names on other chemicals and selling them as such. So because there is no regulation, there is no marketplace. So really the only thing that people are taking, and even marijuana itself isn't what it used to be, right?
No,
marijuana
is a lot stronger. It's super more potent. And you know, it's fun to see, like, you know, in the Mapplethorpe film, like the people doing the drugs in the 70s is just piles of cocaine.
I love movies when that. It's like they have a big old pile of cocaine and the rich person comes in and is like, would you like to do some cocaine before we discuss business? And I'm like, why did that ever never happen to me? We had Jim Ferraros from American Idol mm-hmm. in the early years of the podcast come on the show pretty regularly. And he said one time, I would never sleep my way to the top like Madonna did. And I said to Jim, I was like, if you ever had the opportunity to sleep your way to the top, I suggest you take it.
You know, there's a meme going out there about they're saying that, like, oh, you know, when you think about this idea of women having to sleep their way to the top, how like how wrong it is, because it's not that they had to sleep their way to the top. It's just that men wouldn't give them the advantages that they would give other men
right.
unless they were able to exploit them sexually. And I thought, that's just really terrible.
But there is a, like a fantasy in every young gay boy's mind is like, I'm going to get me a hot daddy.
And well, and that's kind of what happened in Mapplethorpe. Is right. Like, it seems as though they, you know, he found a sugar daddy. And in some senses he did. But, you know, this was a relationship that he had with this man. You know, I think in the movie they kind of show like they move on from being boyfriends or lovers, whatnot. But I mean, they had a relationship for at least 18 years.
Yeah, because in real life, most sugar daddies are not very sweet.
They can be quite salty, right?
Yeah. And so I asked Tim Miller, mm-hmm. The NERA 4 performance artist who lived in New York mm-hmm. City at the time that Mapplethorpe was hitting it big. Mm-hmm. And I said, what did you think about it?
He lived next door to him, right?
He was his neighbor.
Wild.
And he was always like, he never talked to anybody.
He said he was very cool.
Yeah.
Right? He just said hi, and that's it.
What's up?
What's up?
He looked at Tim's big dick, and he has a big dick. It wasn't big enough for him.
He didn't want to photograph it?
He didn't want to photograph it.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, Tim would have been happy to do so.
Speaking of sugar daddies, Rob Anderson has a great TikTok out there that's fantastic about Don't Wake the Sugar Daddy. Now, I didn't know this was like, there's a real game called Don't Wake Daddy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And if you screw things up, like daddy comes popping out of bed. And so he changed the daddy in bed, kind of gave him silver hair. So he's a silver fox. And he's like, don't wake the sugar daddy.
Oh, no, you gave daddy Viagra and he has a heart condition. You killed daddy. Brilliant. Super well made. SNL. You know,
Rob's got so many funny things. And it's like the content that he pushes out all the time. It's just like, I wonder, does he have a team or is he just that brilliant?
Well, he's done a deal with the devil, just like Lil Nas X.
Oh.
And, you know. And Rob can power bottom just like him. He took those horns and he put mm-hmm. them on and said, I am the new queen of TikTok. Bow before me. Would you like to buy my sneakers? They have a little bit of Peeps blood in them.
Ah, Peeps.
Peeps Easter.
As you know, it's
Easter and Peeps go together like horse and carriage, like candy and babies, like love and marriage.
I posted a photo of a woman. She was wearing an outfit made out of Peeps. And some people really loved it. And people are like, oh, my God, I hate it. There's like people really hate Peeps.
Why do they hate them?
I don't, because they're marshmallows. And I think that they're just, you know, they love hate them. They like the way they look. They're cute and whatnot. But, you know, we were going to make a little jock strap for Fausto and a harness. Mm-hmm. But we just didn't get around to it. And then the COVID way.
I
had to buy like 3 packs instead of 2.
So the thing about Peeps is they're a great costume material, and you know, like in the spring there's only so many photos of yourself wearing an Easter bonnet with a basket full of eggs you can do. And so with the Peeps you just bite the back so it gets sticky again and you just stick it to whatever you want to.
Well, I'm sure hers were glued.
No, you bite the back. It's much easier, and then you get a snack. And you can rock it. Your OnlyFans will be seasonal. You'll look cute. You'll make some money. You'll be making some Lil Nas X $666,000.
Peeps are right up there with world's most hated candy. So it's Peeps. I'd say probably is number 3. Number 2 is probably candy corn. And then number 1 is those candy peanut things. You know what I'm talking about? The ones that are shaped like, they're called circus peanuts.
Oh, the orange.
The orange ones, yes.
Why are those so evil?
People hate them. People hate those the most. And then I'd say candy corn. Candy corn gets a lot more play just because they don't make those peanut ones much anymore. But, you know, yeah, those 3 are the top ones.
So I guess there's a secret Jewish history of Peeps. The Peeps were developed by a Jewish immigrant from
the Ukraine.
Their Ukraine named Sam Born. And he developed a candy company called Just Born that is still in business to
still
this day.
The Peeps.
Makes all those Peeps, Mike and Ike's.
I always knew Mike and Ike were Jewish. I always knew it.
Why did
Mike and Ike?
Mike, this is Mike. This is Ike. It's fruit flavor. Mm-hmm. It's great for the movies. Have at it, kids.
But the one, the hot tamale, too, is like also made by them. And I think hot tamales are just Mike and Ike's, but a different flavor, right?
Yeah. And so, what is it? Sam Bourne moved to the West Coast and created this amazing candy company that to this day donates lots of money to Jewish nonprofits.
Now, the Peeps had been around, I guess, the marshmallow little duckies had been around beforehand, but he created a process that made it go much faster, because I think that they had to make them, like, it took them like 27 hours to make them. So, you know, they'd make them in trays. They probably had to let them dry or something like that. So he made them much faster. But he actually won an award because he was able to, and this is a man after my own heart, he came up with like some kind of patent for being able to stick a stick in a lollipop, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's not a euphemism.
Well, how did lollipops get made beforehand? Well, by hand, I guess.
But you probably had to pour it out by hand, and then you had to like lay it on the thing, and you put the thing in there. But now it was like another way to do it.
Well, and so, you know, when we were kids, the candy we liked the most was those fruit flavored lollipops that came in a ribbon, and the teacher would just cut them out and hand them to the kids, you know. And so they were either like,
oh, a ribbon of plastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they still sell them like that, too.
I'm guessing that's probably his invention like that. So it was the mass producing lollipops that can be given out, you know.
Yeah, something like that.
And then came the dum-dums.
Mm. So Kate Winslet, you know, fabulous actress. She's very upset because she knows at least four actors who are just hiding in the closet and don't want to come out because they're afraid of their career. And she wants the world to change so that they can be gay and play whatever kind of role they want to play.
Well, who's that? There's
she said they're young actors.
So Heidi in Closet is one of them. who could that be, I wonder?
Well, I'm not sure. They might be people she knows from stage or something like that. I don't, you know. I could guess there's probably...
Queen Latifah's like, don't talk about
me.
Look at me. I'm no young spring chicken.
Tom Holland, maybe.
Tom Holland. Yeah, maybe. I think possibly. Cary Grant. Freddie Mercury.
Dead. They're all dead.
What? Outrage. Rock Hudson. Mm-hmm. He's dead,
she
says, too.
She told the Sunday Times, I cannot tell you the number of young actors I know, some well-known, some starting out, who are terrified their sexuality will be revealed and that it will stand in the way of their being cast in straight roles. Now, that's fucked up.
I want to know a little bit. Part of it is like, it is, you know, for every what is it, the Neil Patrick Harris, there's a lot of actors who, you know, they're already struggling with their careers, and coming out as gay is not going to like necessarily push them in the, you know, Madonna kissing a black Jesus or Lil Nas X is you know, giving anal to Satan. Nice work if you can get it. You know, getting a little devil dick don't gonna hurt nobody, but it, you know, part of it is like, for a lot of these people, especially young artists, you know, they're moving to Los Angeles, they have big bills to pay, there's a lot of competition, and you know, if everything's based on perception, you know, Mark and I always feel like, I mean, you know, we basically invented podcasting. When we started podcasting 16 years ago, all podcasts were blogs.
Mm.
There was none of this back and forth interviews. The structure of a podcast is something we were doing for years before other people did. And no one knows or recognizes that or cares even, sometimes it feels like. And, you know, and part of it, we sometimes feel like if we were straight, you know, would we be as rich as some of these, you know, A-listers who do a similar show based on what they heard us do and said, this is something that I can do too. And who knows, you know, but, and I'd be contemplating a different existence.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I think what we do is extraordinary, and I value and love the audience that listens to the show. And, you know, it's great when people introduce the show to their friends and family and they get them to listen to.
Spread the word.
Because come out of the closet, Feast of Fun fans. Because in 2021, you know, this is the time. If Little Nas X is dancing for the devil, honey, you can too.
That's right.
And meanwhile, Armie Hammer's like, call me by your name. Where's my check?
He was just in the movie. He's going to be in the sequel unless they can him too. So, you know, we every time we do like a podcast, you know, we hear from people and listeners and whatnot. And they're like, oh, let me tell you about this. So we heard from an old friend of ours who had seen like Ike and Tina Turner perform.
Quite a few friends.
Back in the day. And he's just like, yeah, I paid $1.50 to go see Ike and Tina perform.
So we were right on calculating the price of an Ike and Tina Turner show.
And then they're like, I saw this other show, and she goes, he's like in the 70s, and it was like $4. And the thing is when you pay $4 to see a show, it's not just that one band. There's like four or five bands. You know, it's an all-day affair. I'm like, so how much was a beer then? And they're like, less than $1. So, you know, you could go out, go see a bunch of great bands, get shit-faced for like under $10.
We don't need another heap. Mm-hmm. So we did the show about Tina Turner based on the documentary that's on HBO right now.
Tina.
It's not about drugs. It's about the entertainer. And you know, especially if you're a person who was young in the 80s, it's going to bring back a lot of happy memories. And it's also showing the complexity or scratching at the surface of the complexity that is Tina Turner's life. You know, the documentary kind of skirts over the Tina Turner's sexuality and really doesn't, draw upon the complexities of the relationship between the Kings of Rhythm and Tina Turner and her female bandmates as well. So that's definitely put to the side. Is coming out is Lesbian Rumors.
Lesbian Rumors.
Lesbian Rumors. And we're like, what kind of cockamamie?
Again, rumors.
It's rumors. But I guess there is a rumor floating around that Tina Turner was bisexual in real life in her youth. Maybe she still identifies as that. And had a long-term relationship with her backup dancer, the actress Gloria Rubin, who's best known for her appearance on the TV show ER.
Mm. Again, rumor. And also rumored that she had a relationship with Janis Joplin.
I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
So they're both screaming at each other while they're, because, mm-hmm. you know, these are two women around the same time period that were known for, give it a, come on, just take it. Take a little bit of, I'm sorry, it's just screaming.
Jesus.
Take a little bit of my heart now, baby. And she's like, big wheels. Like, hearing them screaming at each other would be fantastic.
You know, and I don't know how I feel about outing Gloria Rubin, because it's like, you know, Tina's on her deathbed and she's far away, but, you know.
We're not outing. This is we're repeating information that is publicly out there. So it's not, we're not outing. Mm-hmm. We're saying this is probably unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
We're just acknowledging that this information exists.
That these are people that this.
No one has come up to me and said, I have the receipts.
Mm-hmm.
It's unlikely to be true. But one thing that actually did happen is Jimi Hendrix got a start playing with Ike Turner and the the Kings of Rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And was let go because he kept wanting to experiment and use mini effects pedals, which at the time period were not grounded, causing all kinds of technical problems during the shows. And when Tina Turner was actually very close friends in real life with Janis Joplin, and, you know, when Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin died shortly around the same time period, it is documented that everybody was very heartbroken because of that. Mm-hmm. Now, the other wonderful rumor that I dug up is that Tina Turner was into bodybuilding. And I think they're confusing her saxophonist, Mike Capello, mm-hmm. the one who does Ike Turner's voice in the remake of Proud Mary. Mm-hmm. And he's the bodybuilder that's all greased up in The Lost Boys with his hair pulled back and he's kind of fucking the saxophone. I guess there are rumors saying that she was into bodybuilding and for a brief time in the 80s used steroids, anabolic steroids, to get buff and in shape.
You know,
highly unlikely.
But, you know, we talked to, what was it, Haiti Retro Age, and she does a combination. I know other women that do a combination of testosterone and estrogen replacement therapy as they get older, you know, because it helps keep their body intact.
But do you think that Tina Turner was doing like estrogen and testosterone replacement therapy back in 1984? I don't think so.
I know definitely that women were doing estrogen replacement back in the day. So maybe on the forefront that could have been out there. My one friend's mother said her friend like kept her more youthful appearance because she did estrogen replacement. She chose not to do it. And so she felt like it kind of aged her a bit.
And the last but not least, that her Buddhism, her passion for Buddhism, her discovery of Buddhism came from her cocaine dealer. That's great.
Because,
you know, most drug dealers, they're just like, you want another kilo? You want another thing? They're not going to give you a brochure like, Buddhism might change your life. So
Namo Renkyo.
Namo Renkyo.
Well, she has Tina Turner has singles out there with Kygo or Kayo, who remixed What's Love Got to Do mm-hmm. with It. He also remixed her chanting.
Mm.
So there's like a house remix of her meditating, which is really fantastic.
So, I could imagine, yeah. you know, a drug dealer would probably also maybe have a Buddhist kind of mentality as well, you know?
So we need a, here on Feast of Fun, we need a like a Colville scale of rumors. Like, very likely to...
Hot or not.
Hot or not. So let's go down
Colville,
the list.
For people that don't know, is like the
Scoville.
Scoville for like peppers, how hot a pepper is.
How hot is this rumor? Okay, her lesbian relationship with Gloria Rubin, ER cast member.
I mean,
I would put that in the middle.
I would put it in the middle. I mean, if not, lesbian sex is hot, right?
Yes.
And so it's a hot rumor, but it's also like, where is it going to go? Because nowadays it's like, we recognize that a lot of women are very fluid with their sexuality. It's not shocking. It's not in that sense, you know?
And it's not outrageous for a woman who, you know, is venturing into her own. She is hitting it big. The world is at her feet, giving her drugs and God knows whatever. And, you know, she also, this is something she worked for her whole life. So we don't know if Tina was like, fuck it, sure, I'll have sex with you. Give me a line of cocaine. Who knows what was going on, you know? I mean, she, you know, or was she very business? She showed up on mm-hmm. time, did her gigs and left. And, you know, she had a family after all of children, you know, to take care of. So I would put that in the middle to the cool angle. Buddhist from her drug dealer.
That's hot.
You think it's very likely?
Well, is it likely?
Hot or cold?
I think it's interesting to think about.
Well, how is about it like how we're talking about how likely is this to happen?
I can't judge that.
Do you know other drug dealers that are into Buddhism?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I used to, my friend Mary, she used to sell pot and she was Catholic. She had an Italian last name. I won't say it, but she had statues of the Virgin everywhere. So you'd be sitting there smoking a bowl. You'd be looking over and like Mary staring at you. And it's like, yeah. you know, that taps into your Catholic guilt.
Jimi Hendrix, you know, being close to Ike Turner and the rhythm, I'd say the Kings of Rhythm. I always want to call it the Rhythm of Kings.
And he was let go because he kept short circuiting the show.
Absolutely true. But at the same time, Ike says they never spoke since then. So
oh, really?
Since those early days. But other people in the band may have kept closer ties because Ike was kind of socially awkward.
Mm.
So definitely hot. True. Tina Turner was into bodybuilding, used steroids for a brief time. Cold. she's a dancer.
Yeah.
She's an athletic woman. She's always danced on stage professionally. She never stopped working. So she would have, the legs are the last to go. And so she would be in killer shape. So
now there's one rumor out there that you were telling me before the podcast started, and you actually teared up a little bit.
Oh, I don't remember what this is.
You said that there's a rumor out there that she's actually already gone. She already is.
So this is not something I want to repeat, but it is being passed around out there that she and I already passed away. And she passed away over this holiday season. And they HBO had not released the documentary yet, but they don't want to like have it upstage the documentary or the re-release of her music. So they're just waiting till the summer to make the announcement that Tina Turner already has passed away.
And so at this point in time, we're going to respect their privacy.
Yeah. I think, in terms of hot and cold, I think highly unlikely,
mm-hmm.
you know, Tina Turner's a fighter. She's, you know, she is auntie entity. If she can stare down Mel Gibson and say, well, Raggedy Man, we are tit pair. I think Tina Turner is still here with us, and we will have not seen the last of her yet.
Oh, I hope not.
I don't think so. You know, mm-hmm. it's like Tina Turner is amazing, and she's a force of nature. And, you know, she was like, she's a Buddhist too. And she was just like, she said, when she had that kid, you know, her kidneys failed. She just like turned to Irwin, her lover, and said, I think this is it, you know? And he's mm-hmm. like, I'm not ready to let go of you yet.
Mm.
I'm not done with you yet. And so he gave her one of her kidneys, and she's like, all right, who am I to argue with the president of EMI?
I got a new kidney. I'll stick around for a little bit.
Mr. Rogers says Isn't it mysterious how so many wonderful things in life come to us seemingly without our planning? We start traveling down one street, and then we find ourselves interested in something else on a side street. And as we explore that, the side street becomes the main street for us.
Aww.
And for a lot of people who listen to the show, they stumbled upon it. They just were wandering around the internet looking for something gay or fun or interesting podcast. And for Feast of Fun, a lot of people listen to the show. It's the only podcast they listen to, or it's their favorite podcast. They hungrily await a new episode. Aww. And, you know, help make that discovery possible for somebody else. If you like the show, go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Google Podcasts and write a review.
That helps a lot. You know, it gets us noticed. And especially, you know, Pride Month is coming up. June's coming up.
3,000 podcasts.
It's coming up. Yeah.
3,000, honey. That's a lot of shows. A lot of podcasts. So, you know, make it possible. Make the dream come alive for somebody else and introduce Feast of Fun to them. Why not make the side street the main street?
I really like that.
Isn't that nice?
Know? Yeah.
That's why you always say, like, you know, something that can really transform your life is to just go for a walk and find out who are the people in your neighborhood.
Yeah. Run into your friends, talk to your neighbors.
And that to me is why I want to continue doing this podcast in the future, because I know there's so many interesting new voices and faces and people that we've not discovered, that you guys haven't discovered yet, that we want to get on the show. And I feel like, you know, one thing that we've been missing this past year is just talking to people in the home studio.
Without a doubt. And getting, because a lot of times we get recommendations from them about who to get on the podcast. So if you guys have any recommendations, please write to me, Mark at Feast of Fun, or mail at Feast of Fun. I'm always looking for guests, people with fun stories or exciting projects to talk about. You know, when we talked to Adam Barron last week, one of our listeners, longtime listener since he was like 15 years old, he was like, oh yeah, Adam's a great friend of mine in New York. And I'm just like, he's turning 30, like this kid's turning 30 this month. I'm just like, and now you're just telling me this.
What a great documentary film, and what a great person. And Adam was like the editor of Butt Magazine for a long time.
One of our favorite things. And I think it was a great podcast. So if you haven't gone back and check it out, but you know, if you have an artist friend in your life, a filmmaker, a drag queen, somebody that you think might be an interesting guest for the podcast, please write to us. It helps if you have like talking points, like what are the things we could build a show about? What could we talk about? What can keep people entertained? I mean, you guys know the show better than anybody else.
You know the show better than we do. Mm-hmm. You know what we're capable of. You're also like sitting at home, like shaking. Talk about Tina Turner like that.
Well, listen, Fausto and I love Tina Turner, and these are just things that people have said to us.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I'm not making this stuff up. It's not coming out of thin air. These are things like, well, if you know, and these, you know, sometimes these rumors are true. Sometimes these rumors are false.
Well, I like how outrageous they are.
Yeah. And it's a small part of our show. You know what I mean? It's not the main thing we do. It's not
people like this is the Tina Turner podcast. Are you going to make every episode about Tina Turner? Well, last two episodes about Tina Turner. Why stop?
This was about Lil Nas X and
and Christianity.
What
did we learn about Christianity?
Well, we know that religion is a tool used to control people, but a lot of people find a lot of great comfort in religion. So it's, you know, where do you walk that line? And can you find them comfort someplace else?
So there's the new controversy this week is like, Jesus was non-binary. And I'm like, Jesus can be anything you want it to be. It's an idea that lives in the hearts and minds of people.
Well, it does say in the Bible that Jesus loved James the most. So he did have favorites, and his favorite was a man named James.
But in terms of gender identity, you know,
well, I don't understand why, because he looks like Jonathan Van Ness. Why? where did that come up in the conversation?
I don't know where that's coming from, but a lot of people are weighing in on social media and they're like, I'm outraged that Jesus is not binary. No way. And I'm just like, okay, chill out. You know, religion is a form of mythology. Mm-hmm. It's hero making, right? Legends, and sometimes legends are true or based in truth, and sometimes legends are based in need. And you know, people come up with these legends, these myths, these heroes, as a way to answer questions and needs at that time period. And you know, we have different needs and different challenges today than we had 2,000 years ago,
right?
You know, so it makes sense that those heroes, those myths, those legends would change over the course of our history because we change. We have some common needs to the past, but we also have new challenges that we face. Mm-hmm. So our heroes are going to be different. And it's, you know, the side street becomes the main street. And so when you explore and you discover new things in the world, that's when life starts having meaning. And that's when you feel like a complete person. That's when, you know, this, if you feel like this pandemic isn't defining you because you're out there smelling the flowers, you know, from a safe distance, mm-hmm. 6 feet with a mask on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. I want to remind folks we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/feastoffun for an ad-free experience.
And we're on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Feast of Fun. Check us out there. If you want to give a one-time donation, go to feastoffun.com/donate. Give a tip in our tip jar. American Express will do nicely, thank you. Let me loosen up your collar. Tell me, you want me to talk about my Patreon page again?
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.